This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Jason Garrett, Football Night America, and their coverage of the divisional playoffs begins Saturday at 3 Eastern. Football Night America from Kansas City as the Chiefs host Jacksonville. Good to talk to you again, Jason. Which opening do you think is the best right now?
Ooh, great question. I think it depends on the coach.
Let's say Sean Payton.
Yeah, I think the things that Sean will value are things that a lot of people will value, and I think maybe he has some more options than most. I think more than anything else, he wants a structure and an organization where he has clout, and he has a decision-making power that, makes everything kind of stop with him. And so I think that's probably line one for him. Resources in the organization to make decisions, to go get players, and having a big budget, I think that's a big thing. And I think the other part of it is the quarterback situation. Sean was very fortunate in New Orleans to have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Drew Brees, and they were a tremendous collaboration. But I think he recognized that it was harder his last year when Drew Brees wasn't there. So having a plan at quarterback, whether the guy's in place or whether there's no one's in place, so he can go get a guy to be his next Drew Brees, I think those are probably the biggest factors for him.
Okay. Taking all of that into consideration, which team fits that criteria?
Two ways to go. Sean has to decide what his feelings are about Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray. Does he see those guys as people he wants to work with? Obviously, both have been very accomplished players. Russell Wilson is a 9-time Pro Bowler. And obviously, it wasn't his best year in Denver this past year, but he's had a ton of success. He could potentially be a Hall of Fame quarterback. So does Sean see him as someone he can kind of get right and get playing to the level that he played at before? Certainly, the people in Denver have an immense amount of resources, the Walmart family and all of that. Denver's a great place to live. There's a great history and tradition in that organization. So, George Payton, who's the general manager there, fantastic person. So, that could be attractive to him. Again, what's his feeling on Kyler Murray? There's a commitment in Arizona to Kyler Murray for a long time. How does that work out? I got to believe that, he would have a lot of say in what goes on there going forward. But then Carolina, there's a lot of money there in Carolina. There is no established quarterback. Maybe that's a better way to go, where you don't have a guy and you can kind of clean the slate. So, you know, we can argue him 100 different ways. I think as much as anything else, when he's traveling the country, visiting with people, it's going to be a gut instinct and a gut feel for what he thinks is the best environment.
Take us through the interviewing process when you got the Cowboys job. So when you get off the plane, then what happens? Like, take us through the steps of how many interviews, how many people, are you selling yourself to Jerry Jones, my philosophy of the franchise? This is what I see. This is the, you know, the crystal ball.
Do you want the real story, Dan?
Yeah.
It's a really good story. It's a long story. You know, I was coaching with the Miami Dolphins at the time. I just finished playing, and then Nick Saban became the head coach there. And so I was a quarterback with the Dolphins my last year for the last part of the season. And a couple weeks later, I became their quarterback coach. And I did that for a couple of years. Then Coach Saban went to Alabama, and Cam Cameron was hired as the Dolphins head coach. And I wasn't going to be there, but I was still with them, but I was under contract. So I was going to kind of see what the potential options were, maybe in college football, and just kind of play it out a little bit. So I go to the Senior Bowl wearing my Miami Dolphins gear. And Coach Parcells retires from the Cowboys on Monday of that week. So I'm at the Senior Bowl on Tuesday, and I'm at practice, and I get a phone call, and it's some people from the Dolphins saying that the Cowboys want to visit with me about this job. And Wayne Huizenga was the owner of the Dolphins at the time, and he and Jerry Jones obviously have a relationship, and they talked, and Jerry had explained to him that, you know, I had been a player for the Cowboys for 8 years, and that had been a big part of my life before. And he'd love to have a visit with me, even though I was under contract. And so the deal was, you have until 12 noon on Thursday. You have this window to talk and figure something out. So I kind of get all my stuff together, and I leave early Wednesday morning to go from Mobile, Alabama to Dallas. And it was kind of a surreal experience. I think the flight was literally at 6 a.m. And I get to the airport early, and there had been a WWE event in Mobile the night before. So I'm on this little plane from Mobile to Dallas with all these professional wrestlers. And so I'm in line with these guys. I'm like, who are you guys? Oh, yeah, we had this big event the night before. And you know, there were like 10 of them, you know, men and women. And it was like the crazy, you know, it was dark and misty out. I'm like, where am I right now? What am I doing? And so anyway, I got my Dolphins gear on, and I'm heading to Dallas, and I get there early. I get there like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I go over to Valley Ranch, the old facility. And I just spent the day with Jerry and Steven, and we just talked all about kind of what the idea would be. Now, you got to remember that the Cowboys didn't have a head coach. So it was, you know, I'm 2 years into coaching. So, you know, what is this for? Is this for the head coach? Is this for a coordinator position? You know, why are we talking? So we kind of explained all of that and you know, what my philosophy would be and how I would build a program and everything. And so it went on all day long. And I've known Jerry for years, and Steven for years, but we just spent a lot of time together that day. And it ended up at like 2 o'clock in the morning at this place, Al Bernays in Dallas, which is kind of this famous steak place, in the back, just listening to Steven and Jerry and us having a great conversation. And when you play it back, I'd probably gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning in Mobile, and now it's about 2 o'clock. So I've been up for about 23 straight hours talking philosophy. And
were you offered the job at the steakhouse?
What's that?
Were you offered the job at the steakhouse?
No. Steven told me later the stamina that I had that day was really impressive to Jerry.
When did they offer you the job?
I can't remember. You know, we talked about it the next day, and eventually we said, hey, don't leave. We're going to figure something out here.
Wow.
And so before 12 noon on Thursday, which was the deadline, we decided that I was going to stay in Dallas in some capacity.
Did you ever think that maybe it was too much for you too soon after your playing career, with not having a long coaching history.
Well, it certainly happened fast. There's no question about that. But I had been in football for a long time, and I was fortunate to be around really good people. And eventually I was named the offensive coordinator, and you rely on your experiences with Norv Turner and Ernie Zampezi and Sean Payton and John Gruden and a lot of those guys that I was fortunate to be around. And, you know, you dive in, you know, when you got your first job at ESPN, you probably weren't ready. You dive in, you figure it out, you make your mistakes, you keep going. And that's what we did.
We're talking to Jason Garrett, Football Night in America. Would you rather have a cocky quarterback or a confident quarterback?
I think in order to be great, you have to be on the edge of cockiness. I think cocky matters, as long as cocky doesn't mean that you're not willing to go through the steps to prepare the right way. You know, I think that's an important thing.
Like Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow toes the line.
Yeah, love him. He's got swagger. That's his personality. That's who he is. He clearly works at it. He clearly cares about it. He clearly respects the process and who he's going against. But he's got a little edge to him, and he's got some fantastic outfits. He likes to express himself that way. but you know, he when he gets in that huddle, he's in charge, and I think that's what's most important.
We talked to Tony Dungy yesterday, and he said after the third miss by the Cowboys kicker, he would have benched him, and then just gone for two after that. What do you think of that philosophy? What would you have done in that situation?
Well, you know, I think it was probably easier for them to stick with him because the game was out of hand. You know, my instinct, and probably I'm biased towards Brett Maher because he was a really good kicker for us. You know, I probably would have stuck with him and kept giving him chances, knowing that he had to kick his way out of it. But Tony makes a great point. You know, if that game is close and it's, you know, 24-24, you know, what do you do there?
Yes.
And those become harder decisions.
You ever yelled at a kicker?
I don't think I ever yelled at a kicker.
We don't yell at kickers, do we? We put our arms around kickers, don't we? We treat them differently than we do anybody else, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a fragility to kickers that, you know, kind of comes with the position. So you treat them with kid gloves.
Have you seen enough of Trevor Lawrence? Does he enter into that picture with Justin Herbert or Joe Burrow or, you know, these younger quarterbacks? Is he there yet?
I don't think he's there yet, okay. But boy, he's on his way. And, you know, talk about a great marriage between him and Doug Peterson and that offensive staff. You see marked improvement in him over the course of the year. And, you know, as much as anything else, you know, a couple things you're always trying to teach your quarterbacks is quick and decisive. You know, go back, make your decisions, get the ball out of your hand. I think that's such an important trait for guys. And it goes back to a little bit what we're talking about, confidence and cockiness and preparation. All of that gets manifested in those qualities. He's quick, he's decisive, he's getting it out of his hand, and he really looks like a different quarterback the last half of this year.
How's TV treating you?
It's been great. I've really enjoyed it. You know, the people at NBC are first class, and you know what's been fun about it for me, Dan, is I go in knowing that I don't know how to do this, and you try to have a humility about that, but you're also going to dive in and try to get it done. And they've been so good in being supportive and positive with me, but also very instructive, which I've appreciated. I actually said that to him. I said, the only thing I'm going to be mad at you is if you don't tell me.
Yeah.
I'm coachable. Just tell me. If it's not good, just tell me, and I'll try to figure it out and make it better the next time. And everybody at NBC has been great in that regard.
How close did you come to taking the Stanford job?
You know, it's an intriguing place. It really is. I've always had great admiration for it, and that's why I went out there and visited with him. You know, you get a chance to talk to Andrew Luck and Condoleezza Rice and Bruce Dunleavy and Bernard Muir. Bernard Muir is the AD at Stanford, and Bruce Dunleavy is a distinguished alum. And you're talking about being the head coach out there. It was a really fun experience, stimulating experience. But, you know, at the end of it, the college landscape is changing. And, you know, you embrace the standards at a place like Stanford. You want to coach those kinds of kids who are so driven. But with transfer portal and NIL and a lot of other factors, it might be hard to win in an environment like that. So I was thankful for the opportunity, but I'm glad I did what I did.
Yeah, who would have thought that the NFL would be simpler than college football? But it's the case.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, yeah, and only getting crazier here until they understand what NIL is.
I'm really hoping they somehow put some curbs on these things, and I don't know how they do it. You know, I think it's good. NIL is a good thing in concept, but hopefully it gets used the right way to benefit the kids and not to, you know, too much recruiting of high school kids and transfers is a bad thing using NIL. So hopefully they can get that all sorted out.
Thanks for sharing the story there with the Cowboys job, and have fun in Kansas City. Great to talk to you again, Jason.
I always love talking to you, Dan.
That's Jason Garrett, Football Night in America. It'll be football afternoon in America. They got Kansas City and the Jags. That'll be starting, I think, at 3 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. For 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Let's bring in Marcus Spears, the big swagoo. You can catch him on NFL Live Monday through Friday on the mothership at 4 Eastern. Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, Ryan Clark, and Laura Rutledge. The difference between your quarterback being cocky and being confident is what?
Cocky is when he's trying to build himself up to be something he's not. Confident is when he knows he's going to ball every time he steps on the field.
Joe Burrow is confident, but is he cocky?
Absolutely. Not cocky to me. I think, and DP, it got a lot to do with the work that you put in to be good, right? You know, some people interpret it that way, but I don't think cocky is one of those things where not for the public outside of the locker room, but the guys in the locker room. If you cocky, you ain't leading. If you're confident, we'll follow you. And for a quarterback, that's the most important thing. We don't want a non-confident quarterback. And there's a line to where when you think you are him. The young folks now, Dan, DP, say him. You are himothy. That means you are that guy. So you want to feel like your quarterback is that, but you don't want him to be cocky.
Okay. How many himothies are in the NFL at quarterback?
Let me see. 1, 2, 3.
You can say their names out loud.
You got Pat, obviously. You got Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. Tom is still him. I just think Tom age is starting to like show itself a little bit too much.
Josh Allen.
Absolutely. Josh Allen. It's not that many. It's not that many.
Dak Prescott.
I think Dak is. There's inconsistency to his himothy. You know what I mean?
But what's the disconnect with Dak Prescott? Like, what is preventing him from being a top five quarterback?
Inconsistency, man. And then too, DP, he's more scrutinized than anybody because we know what team he plays for. So half the country want him to fail anyway. But no, man, it has to be a consistency in what you do. Like all of the guys, and not just in winning, in performance as well. Like I think Justin Herbert is super talented. I think sometimes we get a bit carried away with Justin Herbert. I think Josh Allen is elite because Josh Allen has consistently won football games.
Yeah.
I think Lamar Jackson is elite. It's just done a different way. He consistently wins football games year in and year out. You know, and Pat and Aaron and Tom, obviously in a class of their own. Tom is the greatest winner of all time. He's the GOAT in football, not the most talented. So it's just different. You got to have variation and nuance when you talk about these quarterbacks. If it's a young quarterback in the NFL that I would want, if somebody was to nail me down and say, give me Marcus, you got a chance to take one of these quarterbacks. I'm not talking about the three I mentioned that are elite, not Pat. Pat is the obvious answer. You're going to take Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. I'm not putting them in that category. Without a shadow of a doubt, the first name that's going to come off my board is Joe Burrow.
I was also wondering this. If I swapped Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott, I put Dak on the Chargers. Put Justin Herbert on the Cowboys. Are we treating them differently?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, look, man, Justin Herbert. See, we make these marriages hindsight, right? Because you think about all of the things that have transpired in the NFL with quarterbacks in a certain situation or where they could go, right? Tom is phenomenal because he actually did it. When he left New England, we was like, damn, Tampa, a good place to go. They got a good defense, good offense. They got guys. And it actually worked. But I think if you took Dak and put him in a smaller market, Kirk Cousins skates by because he in Minnesota. Like, could you imagine? And Kirk Cousins gets scrutinized, I think, unfairly at times. I think he's a really good quarterback. But if he was in Dallas, it would be worse. Dak and Kirk Cousins are pretty much the same guys.
Oh, you would compare those two?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But you got to be a closer.
That's all. DP, see, that's why you're the magic man at this. Because no matter how much fans want to admit it, at the end of a football season, all of those stats and touchdowns and all of that don't matter. Because what did we talk about at the end of this year? We talked about Matt Stafford at the end of the Tampa game when they had to make plays. We talk about Tom Brady. And the reason why we think Tom Brady is the GOAT is because of moments. It ain't statistically. We think about him as the GOAT because of coming back against the Atlanta Falcons, making drives to get Adam Vinatieri in position to kick a field goal, seeing what he did. His defense led him to the championship when he was in Tampa, but he still had to make a critical drive against Green Bay. That's how we remember guys. Like, as much as we laud Aaron Rodgers, we always talk about he only got one Super Bowl. And the reason why it's poignant to talk about Aaron Rodgers with only one Super Bowl is because we've seen him at times with the ball in his hand not come through.
Yeah.
Right? So it really boils down to and everybody. That's why we say Tom Brady is the GOAT. Because everybody is chasing those moments. DP, I'm going to ask you an honest question. If I put these guys on the draft board, Tom Brady would be the last quarterback you take. If we was drafting off talent, and obviously we know he went late rounds in the draft, right? If we were just drafting off talent, the one thing you can't quantify until it actually happens, how are you in critical moments?
Yeah.
Right? And that's why he's the GOAT. But I would draft Patrick Mahomes before him. I would draft Aaron Rodgers before him. I would draft Joe Burrow before him. But knowing what we know now over a 20-year period, we know that Tom and what we talk about all the time is how clutch he's been. We don't talk about the 5,000-yard seasons or the high number of touchdowns. We don't talk about him scrambling and making some dynamic play. We say, oh, my God, the scariest thing in the world is Tom Brady with the football in his hand at the end of a game.
He's the big swagoo, Marcus Spears, NFL analyst. You can see him on NFL Live Monday through Friday. Dan Orlovsky, Mina Kimes, Ryan Clark, and Laura Rutledge. The Cowboys situation, you have Brett Maher. Obviously, lacking confidence. So how do you bolster that confidence? You bring in another kicker for practice? Help me. You know, from the outside looking in, this can't be helping Brett Maher.
It doesn't help him at all. I listen, but DP, this is the part of the business that nobody likes to talk about and we don't like to acknowledge. Like when I was playing in the league for 9 years, there would be dudes on Wednesdays coming on the field after we walked off of practice to see if one of them could take somebody's job. Like that's the reality of the NFL.
Yeah.
Like if you didn't feel like a unit or an individual was performing up to a standard or a level, they were trying to find the guy that could get to that standard or that level. Now, DP, you missed four extra points. And we know that a lot of times in these playoffs, these games come down to those just, you know, we would have harkened back. If Tampa would have made a run, and if the game would have been close, Tampa didn't even have to win. If the game would have been close, we'd have talked about, well, he left 4 points on the scoreboard. You know, he left 4 points out there. He missed some kicks against Tampa the first game of the season that nobody remembers because that was a 19-3 game, but he had some opportunities in that game. Look, man, it's a dog-eat-dog world up here. Coaches' jobs are based on performance from their players, and there is no more critical time than to have a kicker in the playoffs. We know how important it is. We ain't just start covering football. But you're right. It don't do a damn thing for his confidence. Well, but I don't care about his confidence. I care about the ball going through the uprights.
We had Jason Garrett on first hour. And I said, did you ever yell at a kicker? He goes, no, because there's a fragile nature to them. You put the only player on the team, you put your arm around. If they make a mistake, you put your arm around. Everybody else, it feels like, can get yelled at.
What DP think about this? Because I've always had this this sentiment towards kickers. I never really liked them a lot, to be honest with you. When we used to be in camp in Dallas, they would be playing golf. They'll come do their special team thing. They'll go play golf. The golf course in Oxnard was right behind the practice field. They'll be on the golf course. We'll be out there damn near about to die, taking on double teams. Okay. So I never had a great affinity for them. The affinity comes from, do you deliver in those moments where we need you the most? I remember a game. I don't remember the kicker's name, but I remember a game. Larry Allen met the kicker out there on the field and damn near choked him to death. Okay. So it's not that we love you if you're Justin Tucker. Okay. Because you've built enough cachet to miss one.
Yeah.
Right. But when you got these guys, man, and they get a hard job. And everybody talks about, like, the kid from Ohio State, right? In the championship, in the semifinal game, who missed that kick. When Kirby called that timeout, I was sitting next to my wife on the sofa. The kid turned his back to the field goal and took his helmet off. He was done.
Yeah.
That's what Jason Garrett was alluding to about fragility when it comes to their mentality. Because DP, the one thing that I give them is it's like a lot of times in their career, it's like going up to the free throw line and you got to make these two.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the guy who shoots 85% in the first 3.5 quarters and shoots 75% in the final half quarter. Paulie, do you have the game that Marcus is talking about?
Yeah, I think it's 2005, San Francisco versus Dallas at San Francisco. Bledsoe throws a touchdown. Jose Cortez misses an extra point, and Larry Allen looks like he's going to pile drive him.
Dude, I'm telling you, it was because it's DP. I'm telling you, bro, it's a very difficult relationship to manage. Let me just say that
The Brock Purdy experience. I was going to say experiment, but it's not an experiment. It's the experience here. What has stood out that you think is actually sustainable for him in his career?
Poise. And I think that's one of the best traits any quarterback has to have. You can always punch holes in the game of a quarterback. We can find the flaws. We watch film. My crew on NFL Live, if you want a quarterback to be the worst quarterback in the league, we can find the plays to prove it, right?
That's Orlovsky.
Yeah, that's Dan. That's the old job. And he does that with Dak a lot, which is why we fight so much. Dak threw two interceptions, but he threw five touchdowns. No, we're going to focus on these two interceptions. All right. But man, it is one of them. It's just a.
Brock Purdy has it.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. It's just something.
Yes. Okay.
It's just something, right? And look, we can all acknowledge that he's in a great situation with Kyle Shanahan as a coach, and he's in a great offense with guys that you don't have to throw the ball 50 times a game, 15, 20 yards downfield in order to make explosive plays. We can acknowledge all of that. We can acknowledge that he plays with one of the best defenses, well, the best defense in the NFL. So there's not a lot of pressure where you go into a game thinking you're going to have to score 35 or 40 points. You got a great run game. Like he's in a very comfortable position as a quarterback, right? Which is why I used to throw up in my mouth when people said Jimmy Garoppolo was leading the 49ers to a Super Bowl. He was not. All you had to do was watch the games. Yeah. He was not. But he was playing. He was facilitating. And that's actually Brock Purdy just now just gave me an epiphany about Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy just did what he needed to do. And that's what Brock Purdy is doing. Now, the one thing I like about this kid, he knew that he had a team that was on the ascend before Jimmy got hurt. He knew where they were at before he took over the start spot. And he's facilitated and made a lot of tremendous plays. And his athleticism brings another element to this offense that isn't usually there, which is the reason why I thought they drafted Trey Lance. He's been really good, DP.
Yeah.
He's been really, really good. He's supported by a really good cast of coaches and players, but he's done his job at a very high level, and he's doing what he's been asked to do. So I give him credit for that. Am I putting him in can? Hell no. I almost fought with a dude on Twitter talking about Brock Purdy is special. He played six games. Like, when you say special about somebody, that means you are putting them in a category of elite. to me. That's my definition. Let's take a pause on that right quick and just acknowledge that the kid has played well and put his team in a position to win games.
If the Ravens let Lamar Jackson go, finish the sentence.
The dumbest franchise in NFL. Or can I put a comma, DP?
Sure, yes, 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 you can.
Or are you blowing it up and you changing your philosophy as an offense, and that may take a few years to get going? Because one, you got to identify the right quarterback. Two, you got to change the way you coach, coach offensive football.
Would you give him a Deshaun Watson contract right now? Just
absolutely.
$230 million all guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because DP, and I'm gonna give you a, reason, and you know we gonna hang up, and I'm gonna let you call us fight over this.
Okay.
There is no player in the NFL more valuable to his team than Lamar Jackson. That doesn't mean Lamar Jackson is better than Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't mean he's better than any other quarterback that we deem these top elite guys.
Yeah.
Value. Lamar Jackson is the most valuable player at the position to his particular team. The Baltimore Ravens are not who we have seen them to be without Lamar Jackson. Now, a big part of that is they built it that way.
Yes.
They wanted him to be what he is to that offense. I have screamed and hollered, get this man some wide receivers. Get him some weapons. Mark Andrews going to the Hall of Fame. Because the Baltimore Ravens ain't got no wide receiver. And I love Mark Andrews. He's a great tight end. Not a good one. He's a great tight end. And he would go to the Hall of Fame anyway. But I'm being facetious and making the point that I would beg anybody to go back since Lamar Jackson has been in Baltimore and name one guy on the perimeter that scares you. Yeah. Now, I thought they – go ahead.
Is Lamar Jackson the Luka Doncic? Of quarterbacks.
Yes. You get Luka a big man and a couple shooters. And we know what the conversation going to be in the West. Now, he would have to change his game and not be so ball dominant. He'll be more of a facilitator, but he could adjust to that. And he still would get 30. But DP, there is no way you can look at football, okay, when it in terms of the Baltimore Ravens and say that team would be this without Lamar Jackson. There's no way you could do it.
Yeah, I wonder. I think they're going to franchise him and maybe trade him. But
and if they franchise him, you know, a trade, I think would be in his favor.
Yeah.
But if they franchise him, like I said on Get Up the other day, go to Cabo.
Oh, just hold out?
Man, what? If Zeke Elliott got $90 million for holding out, what you think Lamar Jackson going to do? The Ravens, look, man, I got a tremendous amount of respect for Bashadi. They've always taken care of their guys. And it's a very precarious situation because, you know, you don't want to set a precedent. That's the business element of it. But I'm focused on the player element. The player that you have is more valuable to what you do as a franchise than any other player in the NFL. Yeah. So maybe we should have a discussion about the guaranteed money.
Good to talk to you. Hopefully I'll see you in Arizona, Super Bowl.
Are you there?
Oh.
I'm coming on live.
Oh, whoa. Yeah?
Yeah, I gotta give you a hug, man.
All right, Fritzy.
I feel like
Swagoo wants to do a drop by.
That's fabulous.
And he's gonna bring him. Wait, what is Himothy?
Himothy, you can use it. All right. You can use it, DP.
Yeah.
DP, you Himothy.
You're spitting is what you're doing right now.
You know what it is. You know what it is.
You're spitting. Yeah. Thank you again, Marcus.
All right, brother. Y'all take care, man. Always good.
Marcus Spears, the big Swagoo. I be spitting. I just learned what spitting was about 20 minutes ago. Let me take a break here. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
As you all know, we're the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Numero uno.
Yeah, and we know why millions of people tune in every week.
Yeah.
They want to hear us talk sports, not our idiot guests who think they know more about sports than we do.
Yeah, listen to these dummies.
You don't know crap about sports. Nothing. You don't know nothing about football.
This is the worst thing
Wait, he's still on the line?
Get off the show.
Off the show.
You don't know basketball.
If you want to hear how sports talk should be done,
yeah,
listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
I saw this story about Jaden Rashada, Florida-bound quarterback. And Alan Taylor, The Athletic, wrote an article about this. You know, he's very popular on social media, this quarterback, four-star, five-star quarterback. And he was supposed to, the Gator Collective, they were going to give him a name, image, and likeness contract valued at more than $13 million. Now, the collective is different than the school or the athletic department. It's like a booster group there. Then he already flipped. He was committed to Miami. He was supposed to be getting a $9 million NIL deal. Then he went to Florida. Now he's in Florida. Now he wants to leave Florida because he's not getting his money. Let's bring in Alan Taylor. He's done a great job covering this. How did I do in summing that up there, Alan?
Spot on, man. And it took you 1,800 fewer words than it took me.
Okay, how did the collective at Florida get him to flip from Miami to Florida?
Yeah, he flipped on November 10th, and then we find out subsequently that on November 7th, or thereabouts, there was a $13 million offer extended by the collective, which a little more background on the collective is they're a crowdsourcing sort of just getting started, 18 months in deal that doesn't have $13 million. That's why a second collective from Florida began last year of mega donors to sort of handle the big buys, if you will. Whereas this collective is probably has enough money to cover the Olympic sports. So that $13 million pledge clearly was based on a promise from someone else at another collective or another donor. That hasn't been confirmed yet, although everybody has a pretty good guess at which donor it is. And then, of course, by December 7th, which is 2 weeks before the early signing period, a notice to terminate that contract was sent out. I'm told there was a window to terminate the contract, but as you can imagine on the Rashada side, having flipped the commitment, that could be problematic. He still signed with Florida on December 21st. It took a couple hours extra to get that signing in. The press conference with Napier was scheduled for 4 p.m. It didn't start till after 5 because they were waiting on some of that behind-the-scenes stuff to happen. And then even on January 3rd, I talked to Rashada in Orlando at an Under Armour game. The kid was really excited about Florida. Had the formations already in his possession and was studying them. And then when it comes time to enroll last week, whatever renegotiations were going on didn't come to fruition, and now he's asked for a scholarship release.
Yeah, I talked to a source yesterday when I told him we were going to be talking about this, and he said Florida is known in the college recruiting community as overpromising. And he said, not surprised about this, that they overpromised, and then you get on campus, now where are you going to go, and maybe you're going to get a different deal than what you thought. But is this legal? That you know, if you're recruiting with NIL before he gets there, he knows that he's supposed to be making $13 million?
It's totally against NCAA guidelines, but still and yet, every school I'm told is doing it to some degree. And they're parsing it where maybe you don't sign the contract until you're on campus, but it's promised. Billy Napier, both on the record and off, has been adamant that Florida doesn't want to entice recruits. He wants to take care of the guys who are on his roster and already in the building, which is really the genuine spirit of NIL. But at the same time, you know, this couple classes before they try to regulate this somehow, it's a high dollar value these recruits have. And, you know, one of the sources told me for that story you referenced that there's no way Billy Napier was going to make this kid the second highest paid person in the building. And truly, This Florida situation is not of the making of the athletic department, but it's entirely theirs to clean up, because you have to get all these different entities on the same page, because the headline says Napier and Florida lost a quarterback, not the Gator Collective.
Why was the offer pulled?
I think the behind-the-scenes promises for that money didn't pan out and weren't presented in writing. And so they had to scramble before signing day. And whatever happened between December 7th and December 21st was enough to get Rashada to sign, which, as you know, is a binding national letter of intent. But now he's asked for his release, and I fully expect Florida's just going to move on unless there's some really strong threat of litigation that might prevent them from just releasing him right off the bat. You know, I think some of the parties behind the scenes want to be cleared of all responsibility on this.
Is he worth it?
No, he's not. And but then again, the market is what the market is, right? There were houses sold all across this country that weren't worth the bottom line the last few years. I talked to sources who had trouble believing that Miami was even offering him $9 million when he committed to Miami last summer. So it's hard for me to digest these numbers, and I know fans say they're not real. They are ludicrous, but in this case, it was offered. But then, you know, quite frankly, when it came time to get him in school, they don't think he's a $13 million quarterback, which would be a 4 or 5 year term, by the way, not annually. No one does. Arch Manning isn't getting that kind of deal. Nico at Tennessee is apparently getting $8 million over 4 years, and that's probably the richest deal that's been signed yet.
Can the NCAA investigate? Do they even have an investigative department for college football?
I was told by a source that no one is worried about the NCAA because they're toothless, and that no one is really even worried about the Florida state law, which was one of the first states to pass one that says, you know, an athlete can't receive payment until he's on campus and enrolled. Well, obviously, this would be a violation of that. But again, a source told me that that no one's enforcing that Florida law either. Now, in California, high school kids can be paid, but this is still a contract issued, obviously, by a Florida entity. So apparently that law would be the one that takes precedent.
We're talking to Alan Taylor, the Florida beat writer for The Athletic, covering this name, image, and likeness story. You cover the SEC. A&M felt like they were at the forefront of doing this, but Jimbo Fisher said they don't do this. Nick Saban, when he prior to the season, was talking to his boosters saying, hey, we got to step up. So everybody's kind of doing that right in front of everybody, correct?
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. You know, the argument for name, image, and likeness all these years were that these schools are making money and athletes on campus aren't getting any of it. Well, the minute that this became a deal and it was sort of opened up, you knew that all that below the table money that had perpetuated in recruiting all these years, most of it was going to be moved above the table. And now athletes are going to pay taxes on it. There's going to be contracts. The holdup was that can't be promised or signed before they get on campus. And by the time you get them on campus, well, obviously those deals have to be solidified. So I think it's just added a little bit of transparency to the nastiness of recruiting. But in a situation like this, who knows? This is going to end up being a test case and maybe even a how not to for collectives across the country.
Best NIL story you've heard without naming names?
Well, multiple kids, and I say kids, they're going into college, multiple All-Americans at the Under Armour game off the record said that they were receiving almost NIL cold calls on signing day from schools they had not even visited. As though, you know, there was a call center set up somewhere where they were just random dialing top 200 players and saying, hey, if you're at all not thinking about signing with school X, school Y will give you, you know, several hundred thousand. And I will say there was a Florida player who was not in the portal last year who was approached by a school with a written offer for several hundred thousand dollars. And Florida's NIL staff looked into it and the company making the offer was 72 hours old. It had just been incorporated.
It's like the bride is walking down the aisle and you're there at the wedding and say, hey, before you do it, I'm your high school boyfriend here. You want to reconsider?
We had a moment at the rehearsal dinner, right?
Yeah. Great job on this, Alan. I don't know where we're headed, but you're right about whatever was under the table. It almost felt like under the table was better than over the table in some of these, like marijuana under the table as opposed to everybody now can buy marijuana. I don't know. It's just kind of wild. I think I just compared marijuana to name, image, and likeness.
Well, name, image, and highness will happen eventually.
Yeah. All right.
I'm good for about one a week. In a couple of years, you're going to see these Power Five schools break away, and they'll be able to fund the NIL themselves versus having third parties do it, which is really where this communication came from.
I think I agree with you. Alan, thank you. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure, Dan.
Alan Taylor covers the SEC, Florida beat writer for The Athletic.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.